Now, when we talk about the Holy Spirit, what are we exactly talking about? First of all, I'd like to suggest that what we are talking about is an amazing power. At the very least, the power of wind. And wind can either be gentle, like the breathing in and out that comes from us right here as we sit and worship, or it can be like a tornado that wiped out Joplin, Missouri in 2011 with speeds in excess of 300 miles an hour, with a base that's over a mile wide, sucking all the oxygen out of the air as it comes closer and closer so that it creates a vacuum and everything that's in that vortex is being shredded and splintered and spun around. The destructive power of that hurricane, a Category 5, the greatest that has ever been, was unbelievable in terms of the destruction it did in just minutes to Joplin, Missouri back in 2011. When I was a boy, my father and mother took us up to the Chicago Museum of Science and Industry in Chicago, Illinois. And they had an area of the museum dedicated to the power of hurricanes because the Midwest is kind of known as Tornado Alley. And from basically May through September, you just have to be on the lookout for tornadoes to come up anytime that they so choose. Anyway, there was a telephone pole that had been cut off, you know, and put in a display case. And what was absolutely amazing to me about this was that there was a piece of hay, piece of straw, single piece of straw that had penetrated completely through the telephone pole because of a tornado. It took a straw and drove it through an entire seasoned log of wood, and it didn't break it. That's how fast and how powerful the wind of a tornado is. It's unbelievable. Well, one of my best friends in high school was a fellow by the name of Alan Huddleston. And we met in Mr. Robert Dick's social studies class at Pattonville Senior High School. We both liked history. We became fast friends because of it. And Alan eventually would go back to our alma mater to teach in the very department that we had both studied in as high school students. And while that's a nice beginning to the story I'm about to tell you, it wasn't such a nice thing growing up in Tornado Alley for Alan Huddleston and his family. Alan's father, who I never knew, was a Baptist preacher in southern Missouri. He preached on Sundays and he worked at a furniture store as a salesman during the rest of the week. Tent maker, we called it in the day. And I came by this information when we were talking about our families one day, Alan and I. Alan and his brother lived with this older woman whom Alan called Mom. But her picture wasn't the one that was displayed in his bedroom on his dresser drawer, or on top of his dresser. So I asked him who the woman and the man were in the picture on his dresser. And he told me that about the time that he was 5 years old, so this goes back now almost 55 years, his dad was the pastor of a small Baptist one-room church building in southern Missouri. And at Saturday night, when he was 5 years old, they were holding services in that small church when a Category 4 tornado rolled through this small southern Missouri town where all of the faithful had gathered for worship and for prayer. That is, until a tornado smashed through the church and turned it into kindling, into sawdust. Alan just remembers waking up on his back with a few pews over top of him, staring up at this violently dark cauldron of seething darkness, just seething. And the noise was like a freight train coming through, just boom, boom, boom. And he was staring up into this thing, and it was so dark, and he could see the hail flying sideways and the rain flying sideways, and he could see the lightning shooting about inside of it. It was like hell. No one else in the church made a sound because no one else in the church was alive. This was back when the only warning you got when you saw a tornado coming down on you was duck and cover. Back before Doppler radar and all the technology that helps folks in the Midwest get to safety during tornado season. June through September, a storm can rise up in the Midwest that will take your breath literally away. It'll suck it out of you. I've seen severe thunderstorms, never been in a tornado, but I've seen severe thunderstorms in St. Louis that have wiped out power in the city for days after they pass through in 15, 20 minutes. A few years ago, our family, we all drove out to St. Louis to visit my family, and we were heading down to the Lake of the Ozarks. But the day that we arrived was a very hot and humid day in St. Louis. And we went off to get to our favorite burger joint, which was Steak and Shake for all of us. And the weather was incredibly uncomfortable. And the smell in the air was one of hot and sweaty. And that began to quickly change as the nights, as the day sky began to get black and black. And it changed to the smell of grass and dirt, right? And you would see these huge lightning bolts off in the distance just suddenly appearing. And then, just as the storm was on top of you, the temperature would drop by 20 degrees. 20 degrees like that. And you now know you had better find shelter. Time to head for the basement. This is the power of the wind when it's at its most destructive. But the very thing that we call destructive, God calls the power of the Holy Spirit. It is the power of Kilauea in Hawaii to this day, forcing nearly 2,000 people out of their homes permanently, never to return, because there's no roads anymore. There's no homes anymore. There is no coming back from a lava flow. But in this manner, new land is also being made on the earth. New, more fertile land that will provide growth in a few years that you will see spring to life with sudden greenery all over the place. And the process of creation continues. The process of creation continues. Creation exploding with the power of a nuclear bomb, sending off millions of particles, spinning out into space as gas and dust until gravitational pulls begin to pull them together and form them into round, hard objects called planets. And if big enough, they're stars. That's the process of creation. It's not gentle. It's massive. It's the God we call El Shaddai at work, God Almighty. Now, I can understand why our ancestors saw the weather as a sign of God's judgment, and even God's anger, and also as a sign of God's blessing, for that matter, too. Creation is a very messy business. And it can grow violent from our vantage point when we look at things like Kilauea or the Joplin tornado. That's why the psalmist says that God leads us beside still waters. It's the psalmist's way of saying that while creation is violent and chaotic at times, it is also the same force of God's breath and wind that calms the seas and separates the dry land from the waters below. And it restores peace to our lives and to our land, and it offers an abundance of new life too. Most of us are not touched by the violence of the spirit, so to speak, by that destructive creative power. Most of us don't live through and have to experience being sucked into a tornado's vortex. But if you take your own life, for example, and if you look at your own ups and downs, then rather than being seen as a judgment, see it as the way God just operates on a macro scale. Groaning, as Paul says, for we know that the whole of creation groans and suffers the pains of childbirth together, right? In childbirth, there is pain. There is some violence. Women do die in childbirth, but there's also the potential for new life. The Spirit of God is both tough and it is gentle. For example, the Holy Spirit can give you the courage to say yes to life in spite of the destructiveness that you have experienced around and within you at times. How do people move beyond the hurt, right? The Spirit can reveal to you that you have hurt somebody deeply, but it also can give you that right word or opportunity to reunited with that person. The Spirit can make you love someone you profoundly dislike because it becomes in your self-interest to do it. The Spirit can transform your moods of aggression and depression into stability and serenity. It can turn deadened hearts into ones that beat with life again. The Spirit can liberate you from all of the baggage of your past. Not that it says it's not been, but it says you can now make peace with it and put it down. It can take open hatred against those whom you have feel violated and calm your spirit into one that can forgive and continue to forgive and make peace with your soul and with the other. The Spirit can awaken you to sudden insights in the way life is that you didn't see before, in the way that you now must go in life. It can open your eyes to a view of life that makes everything new. The Spirit will give you joy in the midst of your ordinary routines as well as in the greatest depths of your sorrow. The Spirit can throw you into a hell of despair, too, about yourself, and then give you the certainty that life has accepted you just when you were totally feeling as if you had been rejected by God. The Spirit can give you power, the power to pray, the greatest gift God has given us, really. In fact, it intercedes on our behalf, as Paul says, it does its best work when we are at a loss for words, when we don't know what to say, when we simply sigh or groan. Oh, that is the most profound prayer you can actually utter, because it's an acknowledgement that you have come to the end of your knowledge, your wisdom, your ability to make something new happen. And then you're opened instantly to the transformative power of that same Spirit to come in and heal you. Wow. Several years ago, there was a young man in my former congregation who wanted to talk to me desperately. He didn't know me, but he had heard of me, and he had heard that I was going through a divorce and that somebody had suggested that maybe he should call me and we could talk at least. And I asked him to come on in, I'd be glad to talk with you. I remember how hopeless he looked when he sat down in front of me. His wife had just left him and he had just lost his job, and he was facing the real possibility of becoming homeless. I mean, that's where his mind was going. I'm going to be homeless shortly. And he asked me, what should he do? And I remember vividly and with a confidence that I rarely have, telling him to pray. And he said to me, I don't know, Pastor, if I believe in God. I said, I don't care if you believe in God. Don't analyze this. Just do what I tell you. I want you to pray these words every single day, every time you start feeling hopeless. I just want you to do it. Lord, be with me and get me through this moment. I want you to just say that. Just say that. Then I want you to look around you after that. Keep your eyes open. Keep your ears open. You used to call something called coincidence, or you saw as luck, as answers to your prayers, to this prayer. Phone calls that come out of the blue when you didn't expect them. Doors that open unexpectedly, leading to a job interview. Without warning, everything. Pay attention to everything. And whenever you want, call me and tell me what's happening. And we can continue to talk, because I don't have an answer as to how you get through this other than that. But you must do it. You must do it. So sometime later on, I got a call telling me that, in fact, his life had begun to calm down. And that he felt like the utter destruction was turning out to be something that he could actually make it through. He could see light at the end of the tunnel. He could put one foot in front of the next and move in a direction that would lead him out of the valley of the shadow of death. He thanked me, but it wasn't me, though I may have been one of God's angels unaware at that time, as Hebrews says, many have entertained angels unaware, sometimes even the angels unaware. It's God's answer, though, to our prayers. This is how God works. Jesus told us to keep our eyes and our ears open so we could see and hear the manifestations of his Spirit in our lives. Sometimes that Spirit speaks in the still, small voice that says, be still and know that I am God. Or it can wake you up in the most terrifying of ways, that life is not like you thought it was going to be. Like the wind, the Spirit blows where it chooses to blow. You cannot control it. Good luck trying to harness a hurricane. Good luck trying to harness a tornado. It's not subject to our rules. It's not limited by our methods or our dogmas or our understanding. It does what it does. And we cannot change the ways of God's Spirit. We can only call upon its power. We can only pray. Or as Paul says so brilliantly and so insightfully, sigh, or as Alan did, cry. Cry tears for years until it comes out, until you feel that hole closing back into a neat scar. I asked Alan if he still believed in God after he told me this story, and he said to me, believe in God? I know God. Only a fool Stephen says there's no God. Only a fool says that. Alan met the God of the whirlwind, the God who came into Job's life and disturbed everything Job thought of how life should unfold. It's not about fairness. It's got nothing to do with fairness. What's fair about life? What's fair that you're here and not at all? It's not fair. That's not even a word that applies to God. Why does the Spirit run at the pace of a child's breathing in his crib one minute and the next at over 300 miles an hour driving a piece of straw through a telephone pole? I have no idea. Is it because God is judging us? Or is it because that's the very nature of life itself? Life is not safe. It's not. It's not always predictable. I wish it was. And it's certainly not always secure. And every time we try and tell ourselves otherwise, we simply end up deceiving ourselves about the real way the world unfolds, right? That we somehow have control and mastery over it. Good luck. The earth was here long before us. It'll be here long after us. We just walk upon it for a period of time, folks. But through it all, through all of what life has to throw your way and my way, Paul reminds us that nothing, be it, and he's talking from his own personal experience now, and I believe him. I believe it because I've lived it too. He says, nothing, be it a lava flow in Hawaii or a mighty tornado in southern Missouri, will ever be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Not principalities, not powers, nor heights, nor depth, nor anything at all in creation. Not the worst that life can dish out, and certainly not the best. Because it is ultimately about eternal, non-ending, forever life. In good and bad, in joy and sorrow, God goes with us. And lo, I am with you now until the close of this age. So buckle up, folks. That's my advice today. Buckle up, for you are in and I am in the ride of our lives as long as we live and breathe. Amen.